They seem to materialize out of thin air, like ghosts, or perhaps more in keeping with the superstitions of the region, like jinn, spirits of smokeless fire that inhabit the space between earth and heaven. Not that there was anyone around to notice. Even if the inhabitants of Ramadi had been inclined to venture out after dark, a curfew was in effect, and the streets were patrolled by a combined force of United States military personnel and soldiers of the newly reinvented Iraqi army. At 2 a.m., anyone wandering the streets was likely to be shot on sight. The eight men who moved swiftly and soundlessly through the night weren't worried about being discovered. They had timed their advance perfectly to avoid detection by the patrols, and it was unlikely that anyone glancing out a window into the darkness would have been able to distinguish them in their camouflaged uniforms with matching body armor and helmets. Peering through the monochrome display of their PVS-14 night vision devices, they advanced to the front of the target house and assembled in groups of four on either side of the door, bunched together like coiled serpents preparing to strike, which was more or less exactly what they were. The second man in formation to the right of the door whispered into the lip microphone of his radio headset. "This is Cipher 6, by the numbers. Last chance. Go or no go. Over." The replies crackled in the earpieces of the headsets worn by all six men. "Eagle Eye 1, go, over." "Eagle Eye 2, go, over." "Eagle Eye 3, do it, over." "Cipher 7, good to go, over." Cipher 6, a man named Kevin Rayner, formerly Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Rayner, though no one had called him that since he earned his green beanie, nodded, a gesture that went unnoticed by the other seven men arrayed around the door. The gesture was seen by the three sniper teams, Eagle Eye 1, 2, and 3, who watched over them all from a distance. The Eagle Eye snipers were literally able to see through the walls of the house with their thermoscopes, verifying that only two occupants were within, but heat signatures could reveal only so much. Were the men wide awake but lying still on their beds? Would they be instantly alerted to the presence of intruders and snatch up a handy AK-47 or activate the detonator on an IED? Were they even the right men? "Dano, go." The third operator in the stacked group on the left side darted forward and knelt in front of the door. One gloved hand came up to test the knob. It didn't move, but Daniel Parker had been expecting that. He would have been surprised if the door had opened on the first try. On any other night, he might have blasted the door off its hinges with a shotgun, used a shaped charge to blow out the latch plate, or simply kick the damn thing down. But not tonight. This mission demanded a more subtle approach. Parker took a lockpicking gun from a pouch on his tactical vest and slid the metal pick into the keyhole. There was a faint clicking noise as he worked the trigger lever, but a moment later the cylinder rotated, allowing him to ease the door open a crack. He slid a hand inside the gap, probing for tripwires or some other booby trap. Finding nothing, he gave the door a push and then spun out of the way as Rayner's team moved fluidly inside. There was the briefest pause, and then Rayner's voice whispered across the radio net, "Room clear. Move in, Jack." Parker fell into line behind his team leader, Jack Sigler, as the second group filed into the house. All but one of the members of the first group were spread out throughout the front room in tactical positions. The remaining operator stood guard over a figure that lay face down and motionless, his hands secured behind his back with flexicuffs. Just as they had rehearsed dozens of times, hundreds of times, Sigler's team lined up on the corner of the hallway, and at a gesture from their leader, each advanced into the unknown space beyond. Sigler was the second man into the room, as was their protocol, and he broke to the right. Parker in the number three position peeled left behind the point man, Mark Adams. Another mattress was positioned along the far wall right in front of Parker, and a bearded man lay sprawled out atop it, snoring loudly.